chop them down. They're almost gone, and they're worth a lot of money. Chop them down, they're overripe. Soon they'll start a smelling funny. Then they'll bloat and they'll squish, just like nasty dead old fish. And we don't want nothing old in this land, oh no. We don't want nothing old in this land. Chop them down, it's a job, though it may not last much longer. Chop them down, when they're gone, we'll all feel a little stronger. It's a challenge to a man to chop down all he can and prove that he's the master of his land. Oh yeah. And prove that he's the master of his land. Chop them down, and who cares if they've lived a thousand years? We can always put a picture on the wall. Chop them down, make the bucks. All you eco freaks are nuts. Who cares if some stupid trees do fall? Challenge to a man to chop down all he can and prove that he's the master of his land. Oh yeah. And prove that he's the master of his land. Chop them down, they're almost gone, and they're worth a lot of money. Chop them down, they're overripe. Soon they'll start smelling funny. Then they'll bloat and they'll squish, just like nasty dead old fish. And we don't want nothing old in this land. Oh no. We don't want nothing old in this land. So chop them down.
That was Humboldt musician Antonia Lamb with a song called Chop Them Down from her album Amazing Tracks. On Tuesday, January 20th, Pacifica radio station KPFT in Houston hosted a special program that focused on Maxam Corporation. My name is Rhea Green, and I direct SACRED, the Southern Alliance of Coastal Redwood Earth Defenders. SACRED is focused on building the bridge between Houston and Humboldt while publicly exposing Maxam in Houston. When this show was produced, I was in Humboldt County, California, monitoring Maxam's destructive logging practices. We do have rainforest here in America. This is a temperate rainforest that has been around since the dinosaurs roamed the earth. Today, there are countless creatures that call this home, but sadly, their home is being destroyed by Charles Hurwitz and his company, Maxam. Humboldt County citizens are also suffering from threatened water supplies, increased flooding, and chances for mudslides which block roads and destroy homes. This program was hosted by journalists and activists in Houston and Northern California who say Houston-based Maxam Corporation is pushing its subsidiary Pacific Lumber to engage in environmental destruction. KPFT News co-director Renee Feltz and myself, Rhea Green, invited several guests to talk about Maxam and the issues that have Humboldt County up in arms. Remedy, a freshwater resident who sat in a 1,200-year-old redwood tree for a year, talked about the lawsuit Maxam has slapped on her and other activists for engaging in forest defense. Mark Lovelace from the Watershed Council discussed the damage Maxam has done to Humboldt's watersheds and how it affects the livelihoods of those that depend on them. Finally, Humboldt's district attorney, Paul Gallegos, has sued Maxam subsidiary Pacific Lumber for fraud. Pacific Lumber retaliated by issuing a recall campaign against the DA to remove him from office. Richard Salzman, campaign manager for Friends of Paul Gallegos, gave us an update. We begin the program with a statement from Pacific Lumber spokeswoman Erin Dunn, who confirmed that the company has resumed logging in several of the already threatened watershed areas.
Using the best environmentally sustainable practices and in full compliance with all winter harvesting requirements, Palco has resumed harvesting as of January 1st in the Freshwater Creek and Elk River drainages under the state-approved Option C process. That process limits harvesting to trees that are at least 60 years old, requires demonstrated sustainability and replanting, both of which Palco is fully committed to perform. We are committed to the environment while balancing our business needs. All winter harvesting in these two watersheds will be conducted using the guidelines developed in conjunction with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Extensive monitoring is conducted in conjunction with these practices to ensure that they are effective. We are committed to environmental sustainability and have spent millions of dollars improving the roads in the area, and these roads are best suited for winter operations. Beyond the general road improvements, we apply protective measures on each THP to improve fish and wildlife habitat. These environmental measures make it possible for us to keep a steady supply of logs to our mills for economic sustainability and provide year-round work for our employees and contractors.
I think we have Remedy on the line. Remedy, are you?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Would you have any comments about the piece we just played from Erin Dunn?
Oh, yeah. That was very entertaining piece of fiction there.
I'm sure you've got some comments.
Absolutely. I love what she said about the Regional Water Quality Control Board, that they're logging in compliance with the Water Board. In fact, Pacific Lumber is suing the Water Board to keep the Water Board from obtaining information that would help them determine what would actually be a sustainable rate of harvest in these watersheds.
Remedy, maybe you could kind of start basically with why you might be inclined not to believe everything that Erin Dunn just laid out there, and maybe kind of go point by point in some of the issues that she raised in terms of how they're approaching logging as 2004 begins.
Let's see. it's a huge task there, but you know, I wrote down a couple of things that she said. You know, she said Pacific Lumber is logging in full compliance with, you know, regulatory agencies. And, well, you know, maybe that's true because Pacific Lumber, Maxam, and the state agencies have a contract to allow the logging to happen. And living here in Humboldt County, talking with my neighbors, seeing what happens here on a daily basis, you know, especially when I lived up in a tree for a year and I watched what happened to the forest for a year, is just nonstop cutting, nonstop destruction, and increasing flooding, increasing damage to neighboring property owners, you know, people who just own their 5 acres or whatever, and their house goes underwater these days, you know, 2 to 7 times per year. So there's, you know, it's a real hassle day-to-day for people who live in Humboldt County. Erin Dunn talked about the state-approved timber harvest plans or, you know, all this, that the government is fully in compliance, when actually that's not true. Their sustained yield plan, so-called, was thrown out in 2003 because it was shown to not even exist. You couldn't actually reference the sustained yield plan to see if Pacific Lumber was logging in compliance with it or not, so that doesn't even exist anymore. However, this rate of harvest that came out of that sustained yield plan is still allowed to continue, even though all independent scientists have agreed that these watersheds will not recover unless the rate of harvest is drastically reduced now. We don't have time to monitor and sit here and scratch our heads and think about it some more and study it some more. So much damage has already been done in these watersheds over the last 10 years that the rate of logging needs to slow down immediately. And, of course, Pacific Lumber is not willing to do that. They're not willing to listen to their neighbors that they are causing so much damage to. And, you know, they're certainly not willing to comply with the Clean Water Act. You know, if there were laws that meant anything in this country, Pacific Lumber would not be logging at the rapacious rate that they're going at. Let's see, the economic sustainability, you know, she said something about balancing their bottom line with the environment. That's obviously not true. The only thing they're concerned about is their profit margin. And It's, you know, trying to explain it to people who aren't here, all you got to do is, you know, take a walk in Humboldt County or get in your car and drive up, you know, some of the roads in these watersheds where PL logs, and you can see the incredible amount of damage. You can, you know, get up in a helicopter or an airplane and fly around above Humboldt County and look at all the landslides, you know, look at all the massive damage that's being done here. And I have to say that MaxAM is creating a situation in Humboldt County that is just ripe for disaster. You know, we all know what happens when you strip steep hillsides of their trees, expose that bare ground to pelting rain, which happens here, as Rhea mentioned. This is a rainforest, so it does rain here. It triggers landslides. When you take away that protective canopy that those steep slopes have had for millions of years, and landslides wipe out houses. That happened. Pacific Lumber's landslides wiped out houses in Stafford, California, back in 97. And they're setting up the same situation to happen again here in Freshwater and Elk River. And the residents in these watersheds, are, you know, their health and safety is already threatened by the amount of logging that's going on. So, and of course, they're not stopping, and so the situation is just getting worse.
And I'll say, you know, being in from Houston, I do come out here a couple of times a year to witness it firsthand. We hear, you know, Remedy is one of our favorite guests, and we hear a lot from her and others out here what's going on. But just coming out for myself and seeing it in person, I was telling Remedy just the other day, I was horrified. I was driving down one of the main roads in Freshwater, Neyland Road, and to my left on a very steep upper slope was just a massive, massive mess of debris and logs and stumps, and it was just a flattened area that was obviously a year or two old because a couple of shrubs were growing up. And I stopped and I climbed it and I took pictures, and I was just horrified at the amount of disaster. And I got my car and drove, and I noticed it was just patch after patch after patch all along the road. It's nonstop.
And I want to jump in here, remind our listeners that they're listening to Open Journal. Our guest today, right now, is Remedy, and we're also speaking with our co-host, Rhea Green, who, it's pretty exciting. She's up in Humboldt County in Northern California, and she's an activist and director here of SACRED, the Southern Alliance of Coastal Redwood Earth Defenders. I'm Renee Feltz, co-host here, also co-director of KPFT Local News. Some of the words were thrown out here, like freshwater. These refer to areas, basically, they're areas of forest. They're looked at by some people as beautiful things to be preserved, and they're looked at by others as property, specifically property owned by a Houston-based corporation, MaxAM, and being logged by a MaxAM subsidiary, Pacific Lumber, up there in Northern California. So what we're doing here is we're trying to connect the dots, and we're trying to give you an update, in case you already know a little bit about this issue, about what's going on now. And Remedy, I don't know if this is a good time, Rhea, but is this a good time to talk about the law? Can you kind of set that up for us a little bit?
Yeah, that's actually a great idea, because the tree sitters, or any activists really that are caught on MaxAM property, quote unquote, are arrested and they're being slapped with lawsuits. And Remedy can tell us a lot more about that, because she's currently being sued by MaxAM for trespassing, and she's representing herself.
Yes, and it actually is more wide-reaching than just people who supposedly trespassed on Pacific Lumber property. MaxAM has sued people who did nothing more than speak out against them on the radio, so the two of you better watch out.
Great.
But yeah, that's happened on a number of occasions. You know, people who weren't actually doing civil disobedience were just, you know, witnessing what was happening, have been arrested and slapped with lawsuit papers. And we say slap, which means a strategic lawsuit against public participation. These are harassment lawsuits. Pacific Lumber, MaxAM, really does not plan on getting the hundreds of thousands of dollars out of us that they're suing us for. I mean, most of the people that they're suing, like myself, are what we call judgment proof. I don't have anything, so there's really not anything they can take from me.
Yeah, but they're certainly taking your time away from the forest. All your energy is going into these court hearings.
Well, a lot of my energy goes into these court hearings, but it's actually more expensive for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I deal with it, yes, it does take my time. Every time Pacific Lumber's lawyers have to deal with this lawsuit, it costs, you know, somewhere in the hundreds of dollars. You know, their legal fees at this point are just, I can't even imagine what they are, because not only are they suing nearly 100, you know, so-called activists here, we're just, you know, people that oppose this total destruction of these watersheds, They're also being sued by about 50 residents of both Freshwater and Elk River. There are so many lawsuits. Pacific Lumber is suing the Water Board, like I mentioned earlier. They're suing their own insurance company because of one lawsuit that settled previously. The insurance company doesn't want to pay the settlement because Pacific Lumber knew the damage that they were doing. And so why should their insurance company have to pay for it when they already knew that they were going to cause, you know, this environmental degradation, including a destruction of water quality, which is a very key thing about what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, you're talking about lawsuits here, and essentially when we just heard from Erin Dunn, Pacific Lumber spokeswoman, she's suggesting that the logging that they're now resuming as 2004 begins is perfectly legal. And in fact, what you're suggesting here is that a lot of what they're doing is actually sort of outside the bounds of legality for one reason or another. And in some cases, it is legal. But they're not the ones that are tied up in court. It's actually the activists here that are trying to draw attention to what you're describing as irresponsible logging practices. I know we're going to hear a little bit later about the effect of those logging practices. I don't know if you want to say any more, Remedy, about what you expect from Palco as 2004 logging continues here, the new year, new round of logging.
I expect it to be business as usual. You know, I expect the logging to continue. It will probably continue to happen faster, which is something that Pacific Lumber often does, as they start cutting faster because of some threat of impending regulation that might come down on them, which, rarely happens. But it's, you know, things don't necessarily change here. They continue cutting at all costs, no matter what, no matter the destruction being suffered by the residents, you know, or let alone the endangered species. So it's, you know, I just expect it to be more the same.
And I find that interesting that with the endangered species, especially the marbled murrelet, which is a migratory seabird, it nests, in the spring and the summer, and then it goes out to the sea, and Pacific Lumber Maxam is not allowed to log during their nesting period, but when they go out to sea, they're allowed to log. So they can log their nests, and when the birds come back, their homes are demolished.
Right, but those birds also do use those trees. Not necessarily for nesting, but mm-hmm. In the non-part of their nesting season, they are using those trees also. So, yeah, wow. Pacific Lumber's logic is that, you know, if the birds aren't home, then it's okay to cut the trees.
And right.
You know, I wanted to jump in here also. I mean, we're talking about corporate responsibility in terms of the practice specifically here, logging. What did we already cover what Pacific Lumber's logging practices used to be like before they were taken over by Maxam?
Well,
we talked
for
about that?
More than 100 years, Pacific Lumber selectively that's not true, not for 100 years, but for several decades, they selectively logged, which means they would go into the woods and they would take a tree here and there and keep the forest intact, keep the forest floor, you know, safely covered by canopy and leave the habitat for the species, and also make sure there would be jobs in the future, because Pacific Lumber's old president, A.S. Murphy, knew that overcutting was the bane of the timber worker. You know, if you overcut your forest, then people are going to lose jobs.
Mm.
But when Maxam took over, they switched to clear cutting as their main method of logging. And clear cutting means you take a piece of land and you cut nearly every tree there. And Pacific Lumber knew as far back as 1987, that this increasing rate of cut was going to lead to job losses, as well as the degradation of water quality and all these other, you know, sociological factors that come along with it. So, you know, they knew this was going to happen, but they did it anyway in the name of short-term profits.
And the company, it was a really hostile takeover. The company was not expecting a Houston corporation to come in and change their policies and liquidate their assets. So it was all a big surprise.
Yeah, I heard somebody once refer to it as, one of the greatest thefts of the 20th century, you know, mm-hmm. just basically the stealing of hundreds of thousands of acres of old-growth redwood forest,
right.
and quickly started liquidating it. And, Charles Hurwitz has never been held accountable for any of his crimes, of which there are many. And we've all paid the price. I mean, that is one thing I really want to get across to people, is that it's not just, you know, the few hundred people in Humboldt County whose houses are being flooded and whose lives are being threatened by, you know, landslides and nuisance flooding. But, you know, as taxpayers, we are all paying the price for Hurwitz's greed, you know. Whether it's in Humboldt County, they have to dredge Humboldt Bay every year to get all the silt that flows down from their clear cuts. But also, you know, Hurwitz's crashing of a savings and loan. You know, there was a, I can't remember exactly how much money, but, you know, billions of dollars that taxpayers had to pay in order to bail him out. And yet he still walks the streets free, and the rest of us continue to pay.
Yeah, it's highway robbery.
Absolutely.
This is all so interesting. We're speaking with Remedy, activist with North Coast Earth First, and our co-host today is Rhea Green, who's the director of Sacred, and who's actually up in Humboldt County with Remedy, and who is seeing firsthand not only the effects of past logging by Pacific Lumber up there in the forest there, old growth, redwood forest, Douglas fir, things like that, but also she's seeing, so she's seeing the effects, but she's also seeing the new logging. Rhea, or Remedy, have you guys seen any of the new areas where Palco is carrying out logging, I guess, in freshwater, things like that now?
The area that they started cutting on New Year's Day is the upper main stem of Freshwater Creek, which is the last most intact area of the watershed, and or it was up until the last several months. This is the area of the watershed that actually supports 70% of the salmon population in Freshwater Creek. And, you know, freshwater, the coho salmon population is down to one-tenth of what it was just less than 10 years ago. And you know, Pacific Lumber's logging their clear cuts, you know, going after these intact areas, the areas that have been treated the most lightly, is dividing the rest of the watershed, you know, into these puzzle pieces, which is, you know, very, very harmful to the salmon, as well as to the downstream residents. And so it's pretty awful what they're doing. You know, again, they know the damage that they're doing.
Coming up, we're going to speak with another activist there in Humboldt County who works on watershed issues. He's going to tell us about watershed issues. So you can see that we're not just talking about forest, we're talking about water, we're talking about endangered species, we're going to be talking about the salmon that spawn in those watersheds. So stay tuned for that.
God rest ye merry lumbermen, let nothing to dismay. Remember Charlie Hurwitz, his bills he has to pay. So watch him take your redwood trees and pension funds away. No tidings, no comfort, and no joy. No comfort, no joy. No tidings, no comfort, and no joy.
You're listening to Open Journal. I'm Renee Feltz, co-director of KPFT Local News, and we're speaking with Rhea Green, director of Sacred, who's up in Northern California, and she's reporting on what's going on there with the logging in the forest in that area. We're talking about old growth forest. We're talking about redwood forest, and we did have on the line with us Remedy, an Earth First activist, and now, Rhea, I wanted to welcome you back to the show and let you know that we've got Mark on the line. Maybe you could introduce Mark and tell us what we're going to speak about with our next guest.
Yeah, I'd love to introduce Mark, and I want to also mention something we haven't mentioned yet, is that MaxSAM, Charles Hurwitz and MaxSAM own the largest tract of unprotected old growth in this country. So it's, you know, there's not much old growth forest left, but they do own a majority of the amount that's left. But on the line now, we have Mark, who's the president of the Humboldt Watershed Council, which is an organization of Humboldt County residents and property owners who are concerned with the continuing degradation of their watersheds, Humboldt's watersheds, and the tremendous impact that this has on their safety, property, and quality of life. Mark, are you with us?
Yes.
Hey, it's good to have you on today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what is, you know, we've talked a little bit with Remedy about some of the degradation and of the logging that Pacific Lumber and MaxSAM induces and how it affects the watersheds, but we haven't gone into great detail. What is the present condition of Humboldt County watersheds?
Well, it varies depending on, you know, which watersheds you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, Humboldt County's watersheds are in a terrible shape. We have over, I believe, 13,000 miles of impaired water courses in Humboldt County, and they're continuing to get worse at this point. At a recent meeting with the Regional Water Board, one member of the board noted how in virtually every place around the country except Northern California, the conditions in watersheds are improving, and ours are continuing to degrade. So we have a lot of work ahead of us to try to bring these watersheds back to a healthy condition.
How many watersheds are in Humboldt County?
We have 9 major watersheds in Humboldt County, which, because we're coastal, a lot of those, you know, there's a lot of much smaller watersheds that are just creeks that empty into the ocean. But 9 major ones, for the most part. And of those, there are 5 watersheds that are generally referred to as the 5 watersheds here, of which Pacific Lumber is the majority or entire owner of the watershed. Some of these owning anywhere from 70% up to 100% of these 5 sheds. And those watersheds have been suffering from a greatly increased rate of harvest over the recent years since the company was acquired by Maxam Corporation, who's headquartered there in Houston. And the reason for the rate of harvest going up so high was to pay off the debt from the acquisition of the company. This was a leveraged buyout so that there was no money out of Maxam's hands done to purchase PL. And so they have bondholders that they're paying off at this point. And they have based the rate of harvest solely on that economic consideration and not upon any science as to what these watersheds can handle. And that is at the core of our dispute with the company at this point. Every independent scientific report which has come out examining the condition of these watersheds and what needs to be done to improve the health of these watersheds, every independent report has shown that you cannot begin to hope to recover these watersheds unless you reduce the rate of cut dramatically. There is a very elegant methodology that's been created by the Regional Water Board in conjunction with Redwood Sciences Lab up here, which is a branch of the U.S. Forest Service. And this methodology shows that generally PL's rate of harvest is anywhere from 2 times to 10 times higher than what these watersheds can withstand. The only science, which supposed science, which says anything else, is science which has been paid for by Pacific Lumber Company. And it has been again and again shown to be either unworkable or entirely subjective or simply worthless for one reason or another. So we've got economics versus the health of the watersheds. And it's quite a fight locally, let me tell you.
And it's the watershed is a big deal because it not only is home to salmon and other aquatic life that can't live there anymore because it's so eroded, and it is affecting the local citizens. I was fortunate enough to attend a Humboldt County Watershed Council meeting when I was here, and it was really amazing to hear the people talk about the watersheds that are in their backyards. And you know, I was almost in tears hearing how it's dramatically affected some of their lives. What have you noticed are the primary concerns of the citizens here?
The number one concern of the citizens of these watersheds is flooding. And in Elk River and Freshwater, the two main sheds that we're dealing with, because they have, even though PL is the majority landowner in these, by the vast majority, there's still a considerable population of residents within these watersheds too, and of course they're downstream. And in these two watersheds, we have well over 200 residences, far more than that as far as the actual number of residents. And these are people who are cut off, entirely cut off from the world every time it floods. Their property is inaccessible because the roads, the bridges are flooded out, and they cannot get to or from their homes. They cannot connect with the outside world. There have been people who have been stuck by floods in in emergency situations. The woman who broke her arm and had to, an elderly woman who broke her arm and had to walk a mile downstream to find a place to cross so that she could get to emergency help. There are people who have had to be helicoptered out during floods. And this flooding is all directly the result of Pacific Lumber's over-harvesting. And that's been shown again and again and again. It has increased so dramatically in the last 10 years that at this point, in these watersheds, a typical rainfall event, not a storm event of any kind, just a typical rainfall event of, less than an inch and a half of rain in 24 hours causes flooding in these watersheds. So what used to be, by PL's own data, what used to be a flood event which would happen maybe once every 8 years now happens, four, five, 10 times a year in these watersheds.
Well, I know the focus right now or lately has been on freshwater and Elk River because Pacific Lumber is planning to log 500 to 600 acres in each area. And what I've been told, and I think the numbers have risen since I was told this, but the California Department of Forestry filed a report which showed that 97 properties in freshwater are directly affected every time it floods, or rains rather, and 224 people are affected in Elk River. Is that, are those the right statistics?
Yes, those are, when I was mentioning that before, that was the number affected by the flooding. There's far more than that who actually live in these watersheds.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, between the two of them, there's 300 or more people whose property is damaged or made inaccessible by flooding. There are people in these watersheds who, at this point, are raising their homes, building walls around them, building dikes. People in Elk River, they're not on a city water system in that watershed, and so everyone was getting their water from either well systems or from the river itself. And the quality of water has been so destroyed by this flooding. Wells have been sedimented in and silted in and contaminated, and the river itself is in similarly bad condition to where these residents simply have no water supply. Some of them, through lawsuits, have made PL responsible for either delivering water to them or creating a supply and filtration system for them. But it's really not a not a fair trade-off because these people have a simple self-reliant lifestyle out there, living off off the land. Some of these people, their families have been there for over 100 years, and now all of a sudden they cannot count on the water which has provided an existence for them for that 100 years.
What's been PL's response to the complaints and concerns of the citizens?
PL's response has been a moving target. They initially, for years and years, denied that there was any connection between their logging or between logging in general and what was happening in these watersheds. They denied that there was an increase in flooding. They denied that anything was going on that wasn't just normal. And it finally became simply too much of an unsupportable position for them to continue along that line after various state agencies all agreed that these watersheds were impaired, and they were impaired due to Pacific Lumber's logging. At that point, Pacific Lumber said, okay, they're impaired, but it's all due to our legacy logging. It's all due to the logging we used to do in the past, but what we're doing nowadays is so much better, and so we don't need to worry about it because it'll get better.
But anyone walking down the road can see that's absolutely not true.
And the point I would make is that their rate of harvest now is 50% higher than at any time in the 125-year history before Maxam bought PL. So at that high of a rate of harvest, sustained over 15 years, you simply cannot mitigate the kinds of impacts you get from that rate of harvest. And so even though we acknowledge that forest practices today are better than they were in the 50s and 60s or 30s or whatever. Yeah, we acknowledge that. But rate of harvest is such a huge factor that everything else, all of the other mitigations, everything else you can do to try to improve your practices is secondary to rate of harvest. And unless they address that, it doesn't matter how good their practices are, how good their science is, or how many people that they put out in the field to do monitoring or other tasks, these watersheds will continue to degrade until they rein in their rate of harvest.
All right. We are listening to Open Journal. We're speaking with a resident of Humboldt County, California. He and the people he is organizing are victims of irresponsible logging practices, as they describe them, by Pacific Lumber, which is a subsidiary company of Maxam Corporation. Maxam is based here in Houston, and we're trying to put a face on what are normally faceless corporations. And we're trying to allow you, the listener, to hear some information so that you can make up your own mind about this issue and so that you can kind of connect the dots on these two faceless corporations, one here in Houston and one up on the northwest coast of this country. We're talking about some of the last remaining old-growth forest in the country, and we're talking about the effects of the logging in those areas. You may have heard of Houston Voters Against Flooding. Here's the Humboldt County version of people that are working against flooding and the things that are causing it, and they're trying to demand some accountability, specifically from Pacific Lumber. And again, that's a subsidiary of a Houston-based company, Maxam. That's why we're talking about all this today. I want to go ahead and wrap up this segment and see if there's any place that listeners can go to find out more information about what you guys are working on, Mark.
The Humboldt Watershed Council does have a website, which is it's new, and it doesn't have a whole lot of information at this very moment, but we are getting more and more info on there as time goes on, and that is HumboldtWatershed.org, all one word. And otherwise, people who are interested in finding out more can email me at sheds, S-H-E-D-S, at Humboldt1.com, and Humboldt is spelled H-U-M-B-O-L-D-T, followed by the number one.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mark. And if listeners want to get that information, we'll be repeating it at the end of the program.
Well, gather around you people, a story I will tell about a guy named Paul, a DA who serves us well. Up in Humboldt County, he said he'd punish all the crooks that prey upon us, the big just like the small. Well, along came Big Timber in a manner rather rude, using underhanded tactics, they vowed to get this dude. Seems Paul had brought a lawsuit, a bit too close to fact. The boss man they called Charlie then said he must be sacked. They owned the trees and mountains on the North Pacific shore. They owned the whole damn county, and still they wanted more. They couldn't see the forest, they only saw the green. They clear-cut all the hillsides, they silted in the streams. Turned pensions into junk bonds, sent profits out of town. When Paul turned the tables, they tried to shut him down. Charged fraud and lying, well, they denied it all. Too scared to go to court, they bankrolled a recall. Maxam grabbed a PR firm and Paul stuck to the law. The rich threw down more money than the county ever saw. With corporate money flowing right around Christmas time, there were families in the county who didn't have a dime. As through this life you ramble, some funny men you'll find. Some rob you with a six gun, some do it online. As through this life we ramble, as through this life we roam, you'll never see an outlaw flood a family's home. Thank you. this life we stumble, we need a last resort. Thank God we've got a DA who brings all crooks to court. We voted for him once, well, they can't take that away. Come on, vote Paul.
Screw the recall.
On election day.
Our next guest is Richard Salzman, who is the campaign manager for Friends of Paul Gallegos. Paul Gallegos is the district attorney of Humboldt County currently, and 8 weeks after taking office, Paul Gallegos filed a lawsuit against Pacific Lumber alleging fraud against them, basically fraud with the Headwaters deal. So Richard's actually going to tell us more about that and more about the recall campaign Pacific Lumber is currently sponsoring. Richard, are you with us?
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. Can you tell us a little bit about the lawsuit first that Gallegos has filed against Pacific Lumber?
Yeah, I'd like to. Maybe I can give a little bit of history first about how Paul came into office.
Great.
First of all, it's Paul Gallegos, G-A-L-L-E-G-O-S, and listeners can learn more about the campaign and about the lawsuit and the history at votegallegos.org, the website for the campaign, or do a Google search for Paul Gallegos. Paul, in an upset victory in March of 2002 against Terry Farmer, and Terry Farmer was a district attorney here for over 20 years, most famous for his use of pepper spray against nonviolent protesters. I don't know if that's an issue that you'd cover here.
We've actually shown the video, Fire in the Eyes. People are aware of it. Some people might not have heard of it.
One of the things that is indicative of what Terry Farmer's involvement in the Old Boy Network and the control that and it ties in with the law enforcement and the corporations and how they ran roughshod over Humboldt County. So it was quite an upset victory election, this young defense attorney challenging a 20-year incumbent. He took office in January of 2003, and this independent DA who came in there to try to be district attorney for all the people, early in his administration was presented with evidence about this alleged fraud, and he filed a lawsuit, which is actually a civil suit, and you can read about it on the website. And the company would normally go to court and defend themselves. They claim that that they're innocent and that the suit is unfounded, but immediately they started to get their supporters, Pacific Lumber supporters and apologists, to threaten a recall election against the newly elected district attorney. Since then, Pacific Lumber has funneled $70,000 into the recall campaign, which is pretty big money here in Humboldt County, to a signature gathering firm to gather signatures in the last few weeks of the effort when they didn't have enough signatures to get it on the ballot. They were paying them an unprecedented $8 per signature to get people to sign a petition. And with that level of financial incentive, people were giving extremely erroneous information to motivate people to sign, claiming that, basically Paul was letting the criminals run wild in the streets. And so we've got this independent DA, newly in office, being challenged by the powers that be, and specifically being funded, the recall elections being funded by Max Sam's wholly owned subsidiary, Pacific Lumber. In the last quarter, it showed, it may be more astounding than the amount they gave, is that nobody else has given money to the recall effort. Over 90%, 93% actually, of the total money received in the last quarter for the recall effort came from Pacific Lumber. The only other significant donor was one of Pacific Lumber's contractors. So that's what we're up against, and the big challenge we have here is trying to compete with people trying to buy an election. And we'd certainly encourage any support from your listeners. They can go to the website, or they can contact the campaign at 707-444-6220.
Yeah, and this has actually made headlining news. I've been here for 2 weeks, and this past Wednesday on January 14th, there was a front-page article in the Eureka Times-Standard titled, PL Carrying Finances and DA Recall. Almost $70,000 came from lumber company since October. So this is hot news out here.
Well, it's something, the Los Angeles Times-Standard did a story, too, when they were first funding this and paying for the signature gatherers. And we've gotten some press in the New York Times, and certainly the San Francisco Chronicle's covered it. It should be an issue of alarm to people throughout the country that are concerned about democracy, and a lot of people are concerned about corporations' influences on elections, on the democratic process. But to have a defendant funding a recall against the prosecutor, you know, the only analogy I can make is in Italy and Colombia and countries like this where they assassinate prosecutors. It's really quite outrageous that this is happening. And what we've been most astounded by is how little outrage has been expressed by the other elected officials in the community here. And we hope that we'll be hearing more from them. But so far, they've been quite silent on this. And the assumption is that people are scared of Max Amm and the elected officials aren't willing to speak up against them. So we've got a real grassroots campaign. The community is motivated and mobilizing to support this district attorney, but the propaganda machine of Pacific Lumber and their ability to continue to put forth the lies and the inflammatory comments they make about our district attorney. And, of course, it's somewhat ironic that it's a defendant that's claiming he's soft on crime, and that's why they're finding a recall. And the same spokeswoman, Erin Dunn, who you played earlier, had been quoted on KMUD Radio here as saying they're not funding the recall because of the lawsuit. And as far as I know, she says this with a straight face.
Yeah, I think as recently as November, they were denying that they were supporting the recall.
Well, that's true. They did say on the record to the media that they would not get involved in it. They had hoped that their supporters and employees and apologists would carry the ball for them, and that did happen to a point. They got Terry Farmer's former campaign manager to run the recall campaign, and there were people. There's Rob Barkley Sr., former timber owner here and a local millionaire, had put up a $5,000 reward for anyone who would start the recall effort. And they were able to keep corporate funding out of it. Many of their employees and vice president gave money directly, but the corporation didn't write a check until the last few weeks of the signature-gathering effort when it was clear they weren't going to have enough signatures, and that's when they started to pay this unprecedented $8 per signature. But at this point, I think the gloves are off, and they've made it clear that they're willing to fund. Robert Mann, the president and CEO, was quoted recently as having said, he was asked, what are you going to spend now that it's qualified on the election? And he said, whatever it takes.
Wow.
So we don't expect to be able to match them dollar for dollar, but if we can raise money to mount a significant media presence, we trust that the voters of Humboldt County are not going to stand by and let this corporation buy the election. But it is a challenge, and
absolutely,
we are in need of funding, and I would reach out to your listeners and say this is something that if you're concerned about this, to please get in touch with the campaign, go to the website, voteguygos.org, and give us whatever support you can. It's a small county. There's roughly 70,000 voters here, and it's difficult to raise the kind of money that we need to combat this locally.
Richard, can you do us a favor and tell us in more detail about the lawsuit that Gallegos has filed against Pacific Lumber?
I don't think that I'm qualified to give you too many specifics about it. I think you can read about the suit. You can go to the DA's website for the county and read more about it also. But in real broad brushstrokes, false information was filed in order for them to acquire the an agreement that allowed them to log a certain percentage, and they knew the information was false, and then at the 11th hour before the deal closed, they provided more accurate information, but they didn't deliver it to the proper sources, so that when the deal went through, the government authorized logging based on what they knew to be false information. And
right, so Pacific Lumber lied to state and federal lawmakers during the 1999 Headwaters Forest deal.
And the complexities of this include the facts that California Department of Forestry and Department of Fish and Game, in authorizing this information, it's possible that they don't look so good for it. There's also what's called the Mutual Defense Pact, I think it's paragraph 11, and in the Headwaters arrangement that says if any one of the three parties is sued, that the other parties will come to their defense. Well, the district attorney maintains that does not apply to fraud when the government itself was defrauded. But unfortunately, in the initial efforts from the district attorney, which were came to light when the district attorney went before the county board of supervisors and asked for authorization to bring on outside counsel in the form of Joe Koch, someone who specializes in corporate fraud cases. The Department of Fish and Game sent a letter to the Board of Supervisors basically defending Pacific Lumber's actions, and it's unclear what would have motivated them to do that. Some people suggest it was the Mutual Defense Pact. Others say it's because the government's just looking as if they weren't careful in their execution of the contract. But at the end of the day, this is an issue that should be answered in court, and if indeed they're innocent, they can prove that in court. But they apparently feel terrified of the prospect of going to court, and that's why they're trying to remove the prosecutor, trusting that whoever would be replacing him would be more in the old boy network vein of the former district attorney and would drop the lawsuit.
And the election is March 2nd?
That's right. Election is March 2nd. Things are really heating up right now. We're just getting into the heart of the campaign.
All right.
And, we do have tremendous grassroots effort. There's a phone bank running every night, and we have precinct walkers out. It's very impressive and inspirational to see the community stepping up, and our big challenge is going to be to raise funds.
All right. I want to go ahead and wrap up this segment, Rhea. We're getting towards the end of the program.
Thank you, Richard.
We are talking about all people doing all sorts of activism and all sorts of responses by Palco, Pacific Lumber, and Maxim to that activism. In some cases, it's in the courtroom. In some cases, it's in the forest itself. And in all cases, Maxim seems to have the same response. Maybe we can go ahead and wrap up the segment and have you please sort of recap, Richard, where people can find out more information about this, both a website and an email.
VoteGallegos.org, VoteGallegos.org. Call us at 707-444-6220, and you can write to us or send contributions to FOPG, Friends of Paul Gallegos, at P.O. Box 135, Eureka, California, 95502. And we sure appreciate your listeners' time, and we appreciate the support we've received throughout the country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you're listening to Open Journal. We've been discussing today the issue of Maxim Corporation and what their subsidiary, Pacific Lumber, is doing in Northern Californian Forest. We've been talking with several people. I want to go ahead and give you their names and that information, and then we're going to go back to Rhea and talk a little bit about Sacred before we close out the show. First, we had on a woman named Remedy. She is with North Coast Earth First, and she has a website you can go to find out more information directly from herself, as well as links to all sorts of other good websites about what we've been talking about today. That website is www.contrast.org/treesit. Again, www.contrast.org/treesit. And her email, if you need to get in touch with her, is remedy@riseup.net. And after that, we had on Mark Lovelace. He's with the Humboldt Watershed Council. If you want to get in touch with them, you can do so through their website. And that's watersheds.org. Go ahead and spell that. watersheds.org. And his email for Mark Lovelace with the Humboldt Watershed Council is sheds, SHEDS, at humboldt1.com. So that's humboldt1.com. And Rhea, you want to give your contact information for Sacred, both a website and maybe an email?
Absolutely. Sacred is based in Houston, but we're really, the website is geared for both Houston and Humboldt, so we keep all our information updated and linked between the two. So you can find information, current information and past, about Houston and Humboldt activities at www.sacredredwood.org. We have a message board and just a plethora of information. Our number is 713-858-0074, address P.O. Box 980751, Houston, Texas 77098.
And I know that on that website, Rhea, you just posted an update recently about the weeks that you've been up there in California, what you've seen, what you've been up to, and what's coming up next.
Yeah, actually, I've been keeping daily journals, and journal part one and part two, week one and week two, is up on the website, sacredredwood.org.
And so this show has been all about tactics to expose the what normally are faceless corporations. The CEO and president of Maxam Corporation, Charles Hurwitz, is notoriously shy in terms of talking to the media, and it's kind of hard to really get out there what's going on in deep in the forest. And so occasionally we have Rhea on, we have updates like this, and so essentially today we've been talking about how activists in Northern California say Houston-based Maxam Corporation is pushing its subsidiary, Pacific Lumber Company, to engage in environmental destruction there. We've been talking about the effects of that, the activists working against it. Want to go ahead and wrap up the show, Rhea. My name is Renee Feltz. I'm co-director of KPFT Local News, and you can get in touch with us via email at news@kpft.org. And I want to go ahead and thank Ernesto Aguilar, co-director of the news, for helping us out on the phones today, and engineer Steve for being the phone jockey. Rhea, we're about out of time. Anything else before we go?
No, just thank you, everybody. Old growth and redwoods do not need to be cut down, and Maxam Corporation in Houston should not have full control in Humboldt County, California. So we thank everyone for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
You've been listening to a program that originally broadcast on KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, on January 20th. We'd like to thank KPFT, KMUD, and the North Coast Environmental Center for helping to make this show possible. Thanks to Daryl Cherney for his musical aid with Sacred's Eco Carols, and many thanks to everyone in Houston and Humboldt who has provided Sacred with information, contacts, and inspiration. To order a copy of this show, email info@sacredredwood.org or call 713-858-0074. We'll close the show with a song by Humboldt musician Carrie Wallace called Ode to Remedy and the Freshwater Tree Sitters.
Oh, high above Freshwater Creek and the freshwater trees, for the ancient ones they speak, or to listen to them please. High above Freshwater Creek, the fresh water trees, for the ancient ones they speak, or to listen to them please. Oh, oh. What would make somebody climb up to the sky, sacrificing comfort and risking their life? Take a look around and tell me what you see. The forest that was here is just a memory. What would Jesus do if he saw you cutting down a tree that was alive when he was three? What would you do to wipe the tear from his eye? Would you climb a tree up to the sky? High above Freshwater Creek, in the freshwater trees, for the ancient ones they speak, won't you listen to them please? High above Freshwater Creek, in the freshwater trees, for the ancient ones they speak, won't you listen to them please? Oh, oh. What would make somebody climb up to the sky, sacrificing comfort and risking their life? Take a look around and tell me what you see. The forest that was here is just a memory. What would Gaia do if she saw you destroying her land? Would she understand? What would you do to try to ease her pain? Would you sleep out in the frozen rain? High above Freshwater Creek, in the freshwater trees, for the ancient ones they speak, won't you listen to them please? High above Freshwater Creek, the freshwater trees, for the ancient ones they speak, won't you listen to them please? Oh, oh. High above Freshwater Creek, in the freshwater trees, for the ancient ones they speak, won't
to listen to them, please. High above freshwater trees.
Freshwater trees.
The freshwater trees. For the ancient ones, they speak.